Welcome to the Siemens Digital Industry Software Energy Podcast, a discussion on energy and the digital challenges before us. My name is Brennan Conley, and today we're excited to have back Steve Bowerman from SAP, along with our very own John Nixon. Steve and John, why don't you provide us with a brief introduction, and then we'll dive right in.
Sure, I'll jump in here, Steve. I'm John Nixon. I've been in the industry, that industry being energy, chemicals, and infrastructure for around 30 years. Working both in the field and with, you know, information technology over that time. I'm now here at Siemens Digital Industry Software, leading our global strategy in heavy industries such as energy, chemicals, and infrastructure. Steve?
Thanks, John. Yes, Steve Bowerman with SAP. I spent the first 20 years of my engineering career, large capital projects in 66 different countries around the world, and then worked both at Siemens and now with SAP supporting PLM and large capital engineering projects and how we can make the world a better place.
All right. Thank you so much. So I guess for the first question, what are some of the current challenges and energy industry trends that are on your radar? Anything in particular that might be keeping you up at night?
Well, I'll tell you, when I look at the industries we're focused on here, there's real challenges around construction and commissioning. And then the ongoing large operational projects, you have like turnarounds, you know, debottlenecking, expansions. And when I look at that, there's a tremendous opportunity to rectify the inefficiencies that you see in that. I mean, you're looking at anywhere from more than 90% of projects struggle in schedule. They struggle on staying on budget. And they also struggle in maintaining a detailed life cycle from design through build all the way into operate. You look at commissioning, for example, a big part of commissioning is not only the physical commissioning, but a lot of the data handover that goes on. And when you're literally dealing with an incredible amount, you're talking gigabytes and petabytes of data that are created throughout a life cycle of design build that then is handed over. It's quite a daunting task, and nobody really ever budgets in commissioning. That rush of data handover and having to consume it and organize it and restructure it, you know, for the ongoing operations and maintenance at these facilities. Steve, I'm sure you've seen this many times when it comes to capital projects.
Yeah, it's always difficult because everybody hopes for the best and it usually gets the worst. Like I said, I've been all over the world and I can't remember where I've actually had a project come in on time and on budget.
It's so true. And if you look at the magnitude, I mean, if we think about any one large project is going to struggle like this, now you magnify that over, let's say, like the next 5 years, because a lot of these projects, you know, they take 2 years to design, another year or two to build. I mean, you know, they might have 5 year lives before you move into operations and maintenance. And if I look at the next 5 years, our species is investing at least $13 trillion. In capital spend. A large part of that, again, is on things like brownfield construction as well. Interestingly, since 2016, when I started tracking this, we've seen a radical shift from fossil-specific projects into, of course, renewables, hydrogen, clean tech, and so forth. So you've seen almost 30% of capital that's being deployed over any five-year window has now shifted into this focus on ESG, this focus on clean tech. And we can't afford to continue to make the same mistakes we've made in the past going forward. There's too much capital at stake. And look at where we are with inflation and interest rates right now affecting us globally as a species. We cannot afford to be behind schedule and over budget and driving these projects where we're not meeting the financial metrics that we're modeling them on. So there's a real opportunity here if we bring a life cycle or what is also referred to, and I heard this back in 2015, when Brian Ferguson with Cenovus Energy was quoted in a newspaper, it said, we need to have a manufacturing mindset around capital projects. And he couldn't have said it better. And that really is a life cycle view on how we manage capital deployment.
Yeah, John, you know, it's interesting how you mentioned I have a more of an industrial manufacturing mindset or an automotive manufacturing. I mean, they were kind of the leaders and the forefront in a digital twin or a digital thread and taking that engineering data and wrapping process around it and then bringing it through the whole procurement process and sourcing and then into launch and delivery. It wasn't that long ago in the 80s and 90s, it took 5 or 6 years to launch a new platform in the automotive industry. And now it's 18 months. And right. If we look at the quality of automobiles that have happened in that time, the quality's become so much better. And that's where really where the capital asset intensive industries, we really need to adopt that same mindset, because we can deliver the projects on time and on budget with faster time to value. And these facilities are going to start to operate at their designed efficiencies much quicker, which is going to be better for everyone as we try and transition again to renewables. If we can't get these projects done on time, it's going to just delay this inevitable switch. It could cost the world decades. And I don't know if we have decades to lose.
As you were talking, and Brendan, we've talked about this before. You mentioned the 80s and 90s, Steve. I remember when I joined the energy industry in the mid to late 90s, one of the first things I was involved in, ironically, was ERP rollouts. Those were really starting to come into focus in the 90s, enterprise resource planning. In fact, back then it was like, well, what is ERP? You know, and we were all trying to define it and so forth. And your company, our partner, SAP, you know, was right at the forefront of that transformation that began in the 90s. And you've seen SAP really establish themselves as the leader in this space. You know, when I first joined Siemens back in 2016, it was obvious to me that if we were going to look at this life cycle, this manufacturing mindset that we were going to kind of drive, we needed to be mindful of the strong incumbent position of SAP and tap into that power, that strength that already existed. And so we always set a vision that we would look at the entire design, build, operate life cycle, and we'd focus on the areas where we had real strength coming out of these other industries, and then always looking towards a partnership with SAP. So I'm very excited that in 2020, you know, 4 years after I got here, we announced our relationship. And over the last 2-3 years now, SAP and Siemens have been working very closely together to become ever more integrated, interwoven, so that we have this kind of seamless flow of data that it now physically provides the solution we've been notionally kind of talking about for decades, this ability to carry data from design all the way through operations, moving from work breakdown structures into plant breakdown structures seamlessly around the life cycle. Steve, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was what was really exciting. And that's really kind of what brought me to come to SAP was this partnership, knowing the strength of the Siemens engineering portfolio and being able to truly integrate that, because that's what this partnership did is it brought the ability to bring a development team together from both sides, from Siemens and SAP, and jointly develop a out-of-the-box, pre-configured working integration that takes days and not months and years. And so again, time to value is very quick. And the way that we're architecting and delivering this software platform that is cloud-ready, cloud-based, we can quickly spin these up and start to work on these projects and, again, start to deliver value very, very quickly. And that's what really is good for all of our customers, because our deal at the end of the day is we need to be able to deliver true value to our customers. And that's what this partnership really delivers, right?
Yeah. And you know, Brendan, we've talked about this before. We'll end up calling this like a digital thread, right? We'll start to weave together these different domains of function, you know, these design, you know, you've got design going on, you've got design reviews, you release, and then you move into construction. And now you're receiving long lead items and material and equipment. And there's all this complexity in the field now as you begin to assemble and erect these solutions. And then you're now moving personnel through commissioning. And when you think about these digital threads that we like to refer to them, to me, ultimately, this should be a continuous movement of data. And I think we've talked about this before, Steve, where rather than think of commissioning as kind of this monolithic activity that's going on at the end of construction, and in fact is something that can be continuous as you start to cordon off work areas, complete the work, and now you do walkdowns of systems, and then you can basically, you know, quite frankly, you know, literally tape these off, because now you've walked through the commissioning process. The data is now flowing continuously from subs to primes and primes to the owner operator. So that when we move through commissioning, now we are, and Steve, I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, but I've heard you use this before. You know, in manufacturing, we always talked about shifting left. How do we drive efficiencies so that we are squeezing down these stage gate scheduled activities and really drive into them this ability to shift left in our schedule and get to that first win, first oil, whatever that milestone is, and the turnaround, getting back up, you know, and fully operational. I think that kind of shift left because of continuous handover, which we now have because of our integration as partners, is really very powerful in this case.
Yeah, I agree 100%, John. And really, you know, when we talk about continuous delivery or continuous handover, the days of the semi-trailer full of documentation shows up at the owner operator and they go, here you go, we've delivered. Those days are gone, right? Because then you have all this data. Well, okay, great. We have all of the data. Is it current? What's the context? How do we understand it? I have to digitize it all because it's not all digital. And then I have to have an army of people. And that's where you spend 75% of your job trying to find the right thing, right data in the right context, and 25% doing. And if we can hand this, continuously hand this all over digitally in the context of either the engineering, the construction, and the operation, now we can take and leverage all this rich engineering information in the operation side. And we start to talk about visual work instructions, but we can talk about visual asset management. So if I'm out on the field, I can type in my asset tag number because that's the easiest way to find something or scan it. And I can bring up all of the information for that asset, all of the design information, all of the current status, all of its performance metrics. And now I spend 10% of my time finding and 90% of my time doing. And that's going to drive huge value for everyone. And that's really what it's about. It becomes contextual because it's going to be more visual. And as our workforce is aging out and we're bringing new people that don't know anything but looking something up on their cell phone or on their iPad, it's going to give them the ability to adapt and be able to be very efficient, very fast, right? Because a lot of this is tribal knowledge and it's passed down from 30 years of experience. We're not going to be here. John, you and I are going to be, I hope we're not here in 30 years working at least.
I'm glad you mentioned the visual. I'm really excited about, we were at SAP Sapphire together. Your company came to our user event called Realize Live. And I'm really excited about what we're going to be showing, you know, going forward here at the next events. We were able to show working visually previously, the continued investment both parties are making. I'm real excited about what we're rolling out now visually in this kind of gamified environment around this complexity. And you were right. The next generation was raised on smartphones and gaming consoles. And so because of that, the expectation of the ability to absorb large volumes of data and do so visually is now underpinned by this strong integration between our two companies. I'm real excited about what that opens up. And one other thing you mentioned, and then Brandon, I'll hand it back over to you, is as Steve was talking about assets, you know, and asset integrity, it reminds me, when you have issues like holidays on coatings, you know, gaps, or you have corrosion propagation, crack propagation, hydrogen embrittlement, stress corrosion cracking, microbial induced corrosion, I mean, the list goes on and on. We're in this constant war of oxidation with Mother Nature. The ability to visually move through and understand where your issues are and then have that life cycle that takes you all the way back to the original requirements around design, so you can start to forensically understand why am I having issues and how do I learn from it and prevent issues going forward and thus drive more profitability, drive more capacity, drive more, you know, better uptime. These kind of benefits become a reality with what we have available between SAP and Siemens.
Excellent. So I think we have time for one last question. Are there any exciting case studies showcasing the digital thread in action?
Well, Steve, I'll get started here and then I'll hand it over to you. But we've actually been working together on a large LNG client in the Middle East. We've got some great opportunity here. One of the world's, if not the world's largest, one of the world's largest suppliers of LNG. And they've got expansion that's going on right now. And of course, they're going to have, you know, to maintain existing infrastructure. And so together, we've been able to demonstrate quite visually what we've brought together in this tight integration. It's an efficacious example of how the footprint that SAP has on a global basis and what we bring visually to complete the digital twin has worked very well to now address a quite sizable opportunity. Steve?
It's been fun to work on this project, and they're adding, you know, multiple new LNG trains, and each one of those trains has approximately 1 million assets or elements. So think of multiple millions of new assets coming online. How do you manage all that? The way they were doing it in the past was dozens of people in a room scanning into databases for decades. That's not scalable. So right. They partnered with both SAP and Siemens to take a different approach. And they're expecting 2-4% savings in total CapEx. That's a lot of money that can be deployed elsewhere, right? 40% efficiency in engineering time, basically a zero handover because it's going to be continuous. So you don't have this 12-18 month dead time because that's that shift left, as John mentioned. And then they're going to be just 75% more productive once they have everything up and operational because they're going to have the true digital thread. They're going to have the right information in the right context at the right time. And think about the whole, just the spare part interchangeability review process, making sure that you can find a pump or a heat exchanger that meets the original design intent because they don't make it anymore, right? All those things become very, very easy and efficient, right? Because we have a true digital thread. So it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to having them come and speak about what's really happened once they get further down the road with this project. And it's exciting, and it's going to be an amazing ride.
To conclude, we have ADIPEC, the world's largest, most inclusive gathering for the energy industry, coming up in October. Steve and John, do you have any details on our participation in that?
SAP will be there with a strong presence as usual. Please stop by the booth. We're looking forward to talking to you.
And Siemens also will have a booth there. And I will be in both the Siemens booth and participating with SAP with their booth and their footprint. So looking forward to being at ADIPEC with SAP this year.
Well, Steve and John, this has been great. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for our listeners for tuning in. Stay tuned for another episode real soon from the Siemens Digital Industry Software Energy Podcast.